Yeah, we're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN here on this Thursday morning, March 5th. We're talking with Perry Wiggins here in this next segment. He's the Executive Director of the Governor's Military Council. Perry, it's good to have you back.
Well, it's great to be here. Thanks.
Always look forward to chatting with you here. We've got a couple of things we're going to talk about today, and we'll just start off with the census here. We're going to hear a lot more about this here starting next week, as I think of those census surveys will be going out, if I'm not mistaken, next week.
That's right. You know, this is an important thing for the state of Kansas and really for our region. And a couple things have changed to really make it significant for the Central Flint Hills region. And two of those things are the military count and then as well the students count there at Kansas State University as well. So this is important, and it's something we need to keep on the calendar. 1 April is when it's opened up, and I think we need to have a good showing.
Yeah, explain to me the reason why military soldiers are counted where they're at versus where maybe they're from.
Well, I mean, the bottom line is it's sort of a unique kind of formula. But, you know, soldiers deploy all over the world. They're stationed all over the world and here in the United States. And so they count them where they put their head in bed the most. And so they make it sort of simple. But, you know, there's a lot of confusion with military members because when they enter the military, they enter from a certain state. They live in a certain state. And so they get stationed at an installation that's not necessarily they're familiar with. And so they don't think they count there because their family and a lot of their loved ones are in another state. But they need to be counted where they are stationed. And so here in the state of Kansas, for example, Fort Riley, those soldiers that are in the barracks, they don't really have to worry about it. A census worker will go. They'll work with the installation, and they'll capture those numbers. But it's the ones that live in properties off the installation that have family members, even counting babies is critically important. Last year, for example, or not last year, but 10 years ago, we failed to count about 280,000 Kansans. And when you think that each person equates to about $2,000 lost to the state of Kansas, that's over $500 million lost. And to the state of Kansas, this census is important because it equates to about $6 billion for Kansans that go toward programs that support our children, our health systems, and others. And it gives us representation as well as budget money to do the things we need to do to support Kansans.
Yeah, the federal implications are magnificent here. Because, you know, so many – and there's so many different programs that the federal government funds, and I guess a lot of it's based on population.
Absolutely. It's absolutely based on population. And, you know, some states are winners, some states are losers. And what you don't want is for somebody not to get counted in a state because then you're not able to fully support them with the programs necessary to improve their quality of life. I'm pretty passionate about this because – this is almost like a comet streaming through the night. If you miss it, maybe it comes back in 100 years. Well, the census is every 10 years. So if you're miscounted, we got to wait 10 years before we catch up. And that impacts our children in the future and educational programs and health programs for them. So I just ask parents out there and people that have children and stuff to make sure that we're counted. This information is not used for anything but statistics. They're not trying to capture it. No federal agency is going to go out there and figure out who you are and what, and use this data for anything other than counting the individuals that are in our state.
Yeah, and then I think that's a common misconception. People don't want to fill this out for fear that, you know, well, the government might come after me here. Maybe I didn't pay taxes here last year, or maybe I'm behind, or maybe I have somebody living with me that shouldn't be living with me.
Yeah, that's a misconception. This data will not be used for that type of stuff. It will be used merely for representation and primarily for budgeting to the state to support programs out there that we need to support our citizens.
Any idea what the count was on Fort Riley in the last census?
I don't really know. I mean, that number kind of ebbs and flows. And, of course, when soldiers are deployed, it impacts as well. I don't know, but there's probably in the neighborhood of about 15,700 soldiers sitting at Fort Riley right now. and that doesn't include their family members and dependents. So I think you could probably think of a ballpark figure somewhere in the neighborhood of about 40,000 people.
You know, there was an article that was in the Mercury the other day that stated the Fort Riley population was like 67,000.
Yeah.
And that really surprised me.
No.
I kind of like thought, you know, probably 40, 35 to 40 when you include spouses and significant others and kids and others that live on post for one reason or another. But that article at 67,000, that's more than the city of Manhattan, which a lot of people I don't think imagine that would be the case.
Sure. You know, a lot of people don't understand that $9 to $10 billion in GDP for the Central Flint Hills comes from Fort Riley, Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
That's 45 to 47% of the GDP for the Central Flint Hills.
Goodness.
That's huge. And so when a lot of people say, well, we can survive without the post, I think they're sadly mistaken. I was fairly close to Killeen, Texas when Desert Storm kicked off, and the entire military population left the installation and went to Desert Storm. It significantly impacted that community. And so when the soldiers came back, they embraced them. It's the same here. I mean, we're interconnected. There's a synergistic relationship that's been ongoing for many, many years. As you noted, there are people that are connected to that post that we don't even realize. 170,000 jobs, directly or indirectly, in the state of Kansas are connected to the Department of Defense.
Hmm. Wow. And speaking of, Fort Riley and the soldiers out there, what about recent deployments? Have we had some?
We have. You know, we continue to deploy formations out of Fort Riley. It's been just a period of time where we've had everybody home. And hopefully people have seen that in the restaurants and other establishments here locally. But we've had 2nd Brigade go out the door. They're deploying to Korea. And I just saw them out at 1:30, the last group of them at 1:30 a.m., leaving Fort Riley 2 days ago. And so, it's significant for people to understand that sine wave kind of continues for our soldiers, and specifically at Fort Riley. And they're involved in a number of theaters right now, and important because it maintains our readiness.
Hmm. That's very important. Yes, we have a call. All right, let's get to them. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Yeah, I have a question.
All right, go ahead.
All right. I was just wondering. I thought that they weren't actually putting out figures of how many people were here since the new administration and the military was running the deal. I do know that things keep kind of tight. You know, loose lips sink ships. I know in several trains go out with equipment. They're going at night instead of the daytime now. They're taking them out on common carrier, not taking the same route. I'm just wondering, where's this information coming from exactly, or approximately how many troops we have at Fort Riley? It doesn't indicate to me with the traffic flow on K-18 and into Fort Riley that there's that many troops here. I'm not sure that needs to be disclosed, but that's just a one simple person's idea. I'll listen to your idea.
Sure. No, that's OPSEC SAIDA. This is an open source number. It's something that the Post puts out. They put out approximate numbers, not exact. And as far as deployment's concerned, after they deployed, that information is, of course, then disseminated. So we don't put out specific times that they're deploying or what platforms they're deploying from or when equipment's moving. But approximate number of personnel and civilians that work out at Fort Riley, soldiers, all that's out there. It's in public record. But they do operate over generalities, not specific numbers in a deployment or numbers that are deploying.
All right. Thank you for the question here. And just for the general public who may be not as familiar with the military, when these soldiers deploy, sometimes, and many times, they come back within, 6 to 9 months?
That's true. Normally a deployment is about 9 months now. They try to limit those time frames, of course, in extenuating circumstances like what happened in Operation Enduring Freedom. We had formations that were extended up to 15 months. But that's the extreme, not the norm right now. And when they go to places like Europe, which 1st Infantry Division is focused on, and Korea, that's normally about a 9-month rotation. And when you think about some of the troops, some of them go out earlier and some of them go out later, so it can be anywhere, you know, it could be 10 months for some of them.
Gotcha. Well, let's take a break here real quick. We'll come back more with Perry Wiggins, Executive Director of the Governor's Military Council on In Focus. You're listening to News Radio KMAN.